ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
According to Volodymyr Zelensky's man in Australia, Canberra's latest military aid package to Kyiv won't just protect Ukrainian territory, it could also help to shore up Australia's regional security as well.
If Russia succeeds in Ukraine, it will be more emboldened to assert itself in the Pacific. Basically, supporting Ukraine is in the strategic, national and regional interests of Australia, making sure that we can win.
Ambassador Vasyl Miroshnichenko yesterday on RN Breakfast. So is that line anything more than a desperate plea from a country under siege? Or does Moscow actually pose a threat to Australia in the Asia Pacific? Luke Sinden-Dundon has looked into it. Luke, what sort of capabilities does Russia have in our region?
Hi, Sally. Well, Russia's had a naval presence more broadly in the Pacific for nearly 300 years. More recently, its strength peaked during the Cold War, before dropping off after the fall of the Soviet Union 30-plus years ago. But things began to change in the early 2000s. Dr. Alexei Muravyev is a Russia expert and associate professor of national security and strategic studies at Curtin University. He's had research on the rise of Russia's Pacific Fleet published by the Australian Navy.
About 20 years ago, when gradually more resources have been committed to modernizing and upgrading Russia's naval capabilities in the Pacific, today we're talking about the force of about 260 warships, so it's incomparably larger to what Australia has, to which 24 submarines, including nuclear-powered submarines. In addition to that, there are about 100 aircraft assigned to the Pacific Fleet Naval Aviation. There are two brigades of Russian Marines deployed in the Pacific, and they're currently being reorganized into full-strength divisions. So it's not the force that can be ignored.
So it's all well and good to have 260 warships and 100 aircraft in this region, but up against some of the world's most powerful militaries, capabilities matter. Dr. Alexei Muravyev says while capacity is far below what Soviet Russia had during the Cold War, it's on track to transform its Pacific fleet by 2030.
The Soviet Navy did not have ships that could fire long-range cruise missiles. The Russian Navy does. Plus, the Pacific Fleet is expecting to receive capabilities that previously haven't seen, like amphibious landing ships, similar to our Canberra class. If we would start comparing it to the United States naval element deployed in the Pacific, clearly it's weaker. Same goes for the People's Liberation Army Navy or the Japanese Navy. The Russians have the plan to progressively transform its Pacific Fleet from a force that still has a lot of Soviet inheritance into a smaller but more modern force. So far, they have been pretty steady in achieving this goal. It would be sufficient enough for them to start operating in waters of Southeast Asia to the Indian Ocean and operate closer to our shores compared to where they concentrate their efforts right now.
So, Luke, how does Russia's presence in the Pacific benefit China potentially?
So it's worth noting, Sally, that Russia and China aren't formal treaty allies bound to defend each other like NATO members, for example. But they've still been growing ever closer, personally through their leaders. Xi and Putin have met more than 40 times in the last 15 years. And militarily, drills like this one from last August are expected to become more frequent.
The navies of Russia and China ended 3 weeks of joint drills and patrols.
It sends a signal that the Russians and the Chinese can together put pressure on Washington where things may matter for Washington.
You'll probably also remember that they established a so-called No Limits partnership, and that was just in the days before the full-scale invasion of Ukraine. Dr. Alexei Muravyev says it is an unusual relationship, and it's one that Australia needs to watch closely.
We might see the emergence of a maritime coalition, not as a permanent feature, but something that may be driven by operational circumstances. If we look at the possibility of them staging operations with China, the balance of power will shift and will shift quite drastically.
So, Luke, is Russia a threat to Australia in the Pacific?
Canberra doesn't really think so. Dr. Alexei Muravyev points out that last year's Defence Strategic Review makes no mention of Russia, but it also barely mentions China. Senior Fellow for East Asia at the Lowy Institute, Richard McGregor, says any potential maritime coalition likely won't be a direct threat to us in Australia, but it could be to our partners like Japan.
Japan, under Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, tried to repair relations with Russia
and solve or ameliorate their territorial dispute. That failed and, of course, finished with the invasion of Ukraine. And since then, Russia has stepped up its presence in the Pacific. They've done that now in a very high-profile combination and exercises with China. And I think that's where Russian influence is the greatest.
It's not just naval power and its relationship with China, though. Moscow has kept selling arms to other partners in the Asia-Pacific region. Richard McGregor says some observers were surprised to see Russia staying relevant in the region following its 2022 invasion of Ukraine.
I think many people had thought that after the end of the Cold War, the collapse of the Soviet Union, the struggles of the Soviet economy, that it had gone from Asia, and that just wasn't the case. The cornerstone of their influence are many kind of pre-Cold War military relationships to Laos, Vietnam, some to Indonesia, Malaysia, and even their defense systems to Singapore at one stage. And so once you're inside another country's military, if you like, through arms sales, then you retain influence for some time. And I think that was the case with Russia.
Of course, Sally, we know it's not just arms. It's also a major oil and grains exporter. Indonesian President Jokowi famously met with Putin in Moscow to ensure his country's grain supply wasn't disrupted by the war. So while Russia's not necessarily a military threat to Australia, it could be a future nuisance to our neighbours. And we know how big an impact it can have on food and fuel prices around the world, including in the Asia Pacific and here in Australia.
Luke, thank you. That's Luke Sidham-Dundon there.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.